Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are off and running. We appreciate all of you, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land, for choosing to hang out with us. And Buck, it was a wild night in the mom revolution against masks that I have been predicting. This is playing out all over the country right now. There are parents who are fed up with their schools, with their school boards, and they have had enough as it pertains to COVID mask requirements. They've had enough as it pertains to critical race theory. And I'm one of those parents. I've got a 13-year-old, I've got a 10-year-old, and I've got a 6-year-old. And I came on, Buck, and you know this, on Friday of last week, we had a first half day of school. They opened up the school, no masks, and everybody could walk in free and clear. It felt 100% normal. Same thing on Monday, same thing on Tuesday. They called an emergency school board meeting, okay? I live in the Nashville, Tennessee area, a county called Williamson County. For those of you who might be somewhat familiar with Nashville, a little bit south of town, Franklin and Brentwood are the two biggest towns that are in that county. It's a highly educated county. It's a place where education matters more than almost anywhere, certainly in the state, and one of the places where education would matter from the purposes of parents being involved, I would imagine, almost more than anywhere in the country. Over 1,000 people showed up for the school board meeting debating whether or not masks should be required. I was fortunate enough as just a parent. I've got a fifth grader and I've got a first grader in public schools. I went to public school myself, K through 12 in Nashville. I got to stand up and speak. We're going to play that for you. And then, Buck, I'm going to talk about the experience. I want you to be able to weigh in as well. But this is the very foundation of democracy. Go out if you are a parent at your local school board and fight for what you believe in. This is where the rubber meets the road. This was me. I got 1 minute. Here's what it sounded like.
Good evening. I'm Clay Travis. I have two kids in Williamson County Public Schools, fifth grader and a first grader. And you all should be ashamed of the choices that you are about to make. We teach our kids that facts matter. That's why they go to school. The facts are these. Masks don't work. There isn't a single scientific data that has ever proven that masks work. Also, let's talk about risk analysis, which is the key. I feel bad for all these people walking around in masks, engaging in cosmetic theater, thinking that they are making a difference against COVID. They aren't. Here's the truth. Our kids, under 25-year-olds, one in a million chance that they are going to die of COVID. They are more likely to be struck by lightning. They are more likely to be struck by lightning. They are more likely to die of the seasonal flu. Have any of you ever mandated masks for the seasonal flu? Well, shame on you, because every kid in Williamson County schools has been under more danger from the seasonal flu every year than they are for COVID. I would tell every parent here, don't let your kids wear masks.
This is what pushback looks like, and it's going to take a lot more of this.
So there we go, Clay. You got like a standing ovation from the folks that were at the school board meeting. I saw the video. I shared it last night on Twitter as soon as I saw it. I mean, this is what we've been talking about for weeks. And I had thought for a while now, I actually had written at BuckSexton.com about a month or two ago that it was the pushback against CRT that would be the beginnings of, I mean, we just had the voice of Rush there for a second, the pushback from the right against the madness of the Biden administration. Now it's starting to seem like it's the pushback against mask mandates in school and CRT training in school, essentially the socialist indoctrination and collectivization of our children all across the country. And, you know, you were in Tennessee. This is a huge fight right now in Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis is saying, if you institute mask mandates, I'm going to cut your pay as an employee of the state. So that's going to be a really interesting one. And it's funny because you're having in Tennessee, finally, what I've been waiting for in New York. And I got to tell you, man, I'm not seeing it. This is what's going to end up happening. You're going to have the red states and the blue states. And the blue states are desperate to force places like Tennessee, like Texas, like Florida to go along with enough of this stuff, particularly the mask mandates in schools, so there's no control group for the study, so to speak, so that they can't actually look at whether masking in schools does anything per capita and have a definitive answer. Because, Clay, I know you're a betting guy. I'm a betting guy sometimes. I would bet a large sum of money that if Florida doesn't have kids masked up in schools, you will see no difference from COVID spread in New York City schools, which are going to be masking up their kids like the lunatics these adults are.
The masks don't work, Buck. And I should give an update on what happened. So look, sometimes you fight and you don't get the result that you want. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be fighting. They instituted a mask mandate illogically for kindergarten through fifth grade. No other ages will have a mask mandate.
Wait, why kindergarten through? Why not? What about sixth graders? I hear they can be very virus-full.
So the argument is because 12-year-olds and up can get the COVID vaccine now, that basically it's illogical, right? Because kindergarten through fifth grade are actually the kids that, if you are worried about kids and the virus, the younger the kid is, the less significant of an impact it is. The reality is, no matter who you are, and in school, you are under more danger driving to and from school of death than you are from COVID. So they implemented this now K through five mask mandate. And I don't know what the next step is, but I will tell you this, Buck. And I posted the video because you were like, we were texting and you were like, hey, get some videos, like show what it looks like there. So I walked out. I mean, you could see this is a mom driven revolution, Buck. And here's why. Because moms, when we said, hey, we need 2 weeks to stop the spread, they took it on their shoulders. When the kids got out of school, you know this, anybody who has got a kid, moms bear so much more of the child rearing responsibilities. And moms across the country, and dads too, I'm one of them, right? I'm a dad, I'm fed up. But I think moms uniquely are driving this fight all over the country because they're looking at the data and they are saying there is no legitimate basis to require my kid to wear a mask. And the mama bears out there are furious. And I was texting with some friends, Buck. I think this has the potential to be a Tea Party-like revolution led by moms out there. And if you look at the data, the place where elections are decided is the suburbs, right? That's where Trump had his failures as it pertained in 2020. He lost white moms. He lost white dads. That's the issue. That's the rub of the road here. And I think these are the people that are the most fed up about these mask mandates. And what I saw last night, Buck, it had the feelings of a groundswell. And look,
right, Clay, we got a problem, buddy. We got a problem, which is that this school district still went with mask mandates, even with all these people showing up.
Sometimes
you lose. Right. So let's be clear. We're talking about it like this is the beginnings of it, but we're up against a determined adversary here.
There's no doubt.
With the apparatus of control that the Democrats, the teachers unions have. I mean, think about it this way, my man. You know, there are more Republicans in New York City than there are in some states, right? I mean, you know, when you look at the way that the distribution goes across the country, and yet you're going to have people that are forced to go along with this. I mean, what I'm saying is, if in Tennessee you're having school districts, not even in Nashville, which already is doing masking, but in Williamson County, I think everyone needs to understand they're doing this to people. They're so close right now, Clay, to getting mask mandates reinstituted in Texas. Texas is on. I was talking to somebody close to Abbott's office. Texas is under a lot of pressure right now. So while I'm happy and I'm like, yeah, I just want everyone to know, we're defending on our 10-yard line.
Oh,
we're not about to run it into their end zone.
There's no doubt. But I felt, even in losing that vote, that school board, I felt emboldened and I felt better about things than I have in a long time, seeing how many people were willing to show up and fight this thing. Because you lose some battles, and then you know what you end up doing? Sooner or later, you find a way to win the war. And so I think I'm with you. It's frustrating. And I understand how many people out there I think my county and what went on in that school board is emblematic of what many people are feeling all over this country who are listening to us right now. But I'm telling you, for a long time, people were taking it and they weren't fighting back. I'm telling you, the revolution has begun, and there are going to be some losses. There certainly are going to be some losses, but this mom revolution is real.
But the red states that for a while now, I think, have felt like, oh, we're good. This is a, and that's, now that's I'm speaking from the blue state perspective, right? Because I'm here in New York, which, by the way, masks are back in my building now, mandated. I don't wear them, but they're back in my building. Mask mandates are back in, not only in schools, of course, here, but also in about half the businesses. I went to get a cup of coffee this morning. Guess what? They said, put your mask on. It's great. They got the plexiglass things. The plexiglass things
I know.
May be the dumbest, because there, no one actually thinks that those do. I mean, there's no study. There's no data.
Oh,
but people
God.
Put them
it
up there.
True.
It is their little security and safety blanket. It's their little blankie that they grab like a little kid to make them feel safe. And Clay, I think people don't realize right now DeSantis and Governor Abbott specifically are under immense pressure from the media apparatus. Now, I don't think they're going to bend the knee, but that's where we are right now. They've created so much fear. No one looks at the death data. They're only looking at cases and hospitalizations in a very localized sense. So, yeah, the mom revolution is fantastic. But as I'm saying, man, we're trying to push for something that is, it's crazy that we're even in this place. And right now, you're talking about a Biden administration that's discussing a federal, across-the-board school mandate. So for everyone out there who thought that I'm in a red state, it's going to be okay, I warned people, just like I knew Fauci was the worst person ever, I warned them and said, this White House is not done with you, Texas. This White House is not done with you, Florida. And it's not.
Here's what I will say. I am optimistic, and I understand people out there like, you're optimistic. I tend to be an optimist, right? My wife is, I drive her crazy by being an optimist all the time. But I'm hearing from a lot of my friends, liberal, left-wing friends that I went to law school with. And Buck, their kids are not getting to go to school still. Their kids are having to wear masks, and they are fed up. And these are people who might have been interested in Bernie Sanders. They might have been interested in Hillary Clinton. They've donated money to those people.
I wonder, the social pressure to conform with this stuff. I mean, they may tell you that because they know that Clay is a safe space, but I'm worried about the rest. Can we come back and talk about the DeSantis fight as well for schools?
Yes, we need to play the audio of what he's doing.
We've got that. We've also got Josh Hawley going to be joining us later on in the show. We got my friend, you all know Josh Hawley, of course, a senator. And we got my friend Ned Ryan from American Majority. Talked to him about the budget, the Democrats. Biden wandering off into the bushes. Saw that video. That's not supposed to see that. Not supposed to pay attention to it. But look.
How about Biden endorsing Andrew Cuomo and saying, oh, he did a pretty good job other than the death and the sexual harassment.
That's the most Biden thing ever. Yeah, it was great. For
great 10.5 years.
The biggest collapse of an American politician from high to low, maybe in memory, and yet here we are. Well, actually, I guess Anthony Weiner probably worse, but he was never considered some national level hero. All right, if you're with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, guess what? You're paying too much for your cell service. Clay and I want to save you money right now. And we're talking about not a little bit, okay? Up to $800 a year on average, actually. On average, it could be more than that for a family, okay? So the average family saves around $800 a year. What are you going to do with that $800? I mean, Clay, think about how for so many folks out there, that's paying down that credit card that's been lingering for a while. That's maybe saving up. That's that last piece for that little vacation, the trip you're planning with the fam. $800 goes a long way.
Could be a car payment, could help with the mortgage in a big way, and switching is incredibly easy. My own son, my 13-year-old, he finally got a phone. We relented. He's an eighth grader. We said, you get to eighth grade, you can get your own phone. Well, he's got right now a Pure Talk phone. He's got unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data. It's just $30 a month. And here's the deal. If you go over, they don't charge you for it. How do you save a bundle yourself? From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. And you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250. Say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. One more time, 250. Say Pure Talk.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck here with Clay. And Florida is now the... primary focus of much of the media when it comes to COVID, of course. There was some CDC misreporting of cases in Florida, which, of course, they thought the number was much higher. They've since had to correct that. But now the school board in Broward County is putting forward a mask policy. There are basically local school boards that are saying, or county school boards that are saying, we're going to have masks, even though the governor says no masks, no mask policy. It's always voluntary. See, this is what they like to leave out. You know, it's just a question of, can a school say you have to do this to little kids, to 8-year-olds? And also, can we just, the same way that we all know mask up between bites on the plane is for moron authoritarians, we also know that 8-year-olds, and I would defer to Clay because he actually has kids who are around this age, but 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, they're going to pull the mask down. They're going to pull the mask up.
Yeah, they're messes.
Give me a break.
That's why the question is, a lot of people ask, is noncompliance the answer? Should thousands of parents out there in these school districts just say, hey, we're not going to put masks on our kids and see what the school district does, right? I don't know what the answer is with kids, but Ron DeSantis is fighting this battle better and I think more aggressively than any governor out there.
He's saying that he's actually going to take action against this.
We're going to do whatever we can to vindicate the rights of parents and make sure that parents are in the driver's seat when it comes to the health, education, and welfare of their kids. And these should not be decreed by the government. This should be something that a parent is ultimately making the decision on.
He's trying to say, Amen. Look, you know, it should be up to the parents, Clay, but he's also gone as far as to say that they are considering withholding funds. And it's so fascinating because when the federal government floats this out there, you can see CNN and all the enablers going, oh, yeah, that's if they want to pull, because Biden's saying out loud they may have a federal mask mandate in all schools. He's saying he's thinking about it. He's considering
it. Which can't be remotely constitutional.
But hey, neither is extending the eviction moratorium or creating a new one, right? So we know that they don't care about the Constitution. But when a state government, which actually has more power about quarantine and health and the things that we've had to deal with during COVID, when a state government says no masks required, then all, and if you do, we're going to pull funding for that county, that school district, then it's tyranny in the other direction, Clay. That's what they tell us.
There's just no basis in scientific logic or fact for this. And that's why I would encourage everybody out there. Well, I'm fortunate because I get to talk with you every day and say exactly what I think about the issues that are going on in the world. But the most important job that I have is not radio show host or TV host or any of those things. It's dad. And so when I talk to my kids, my first grader and my fifth grader say, Dad, we hate wearing masks in school and all of our friends do too. Nobody wants them. You got to stand up for your kids. And that's what I would encourage everybody listening to us to do as well. And by the way, I'd also encourage all of you to stand up and save a lot of money right now. Lowest mortgage rates of most of our lives. You could save up to $1,000 a month or more. That could be $12,000 a year. How much difference would that make in your life? How do you not take advantage of the opportunity right now and go get a great mortgage from my friends at American Financing? All you have to do is call 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Again, call them today, 800-777-8109, and get hooked up right now with the best rates. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. I encourage you to follow us on social. You can find Buck at Buck Sexton pretty much everywhere across the social universe. For now, you can find me, Clay Travis, at Clay Travis pretty much everywhere as well. Buck, I don't know.
Don't give Big Tech any ideas, buddy. You know, they're going to come after us.
I think I got plenty of ideas. If you got Rand Paul getting shut down for saying basically the same thing as one of Biden's top COVID advisors, that masks don't work. I want to get a couple of your calls here, and then we're going to also transition into the craziness that's going on with the budget. And by the way, we're going to discuss the $3.5 trillion budget in the third hour of the program. At the top, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley
who was involved in that all-night budgerama or whatever they want to call it that was going on. He will join us at the top of the third hour. But first, get a couple of you who want to weigh in. Wendy in Indianapolis, what you got for us, Wendy?
Hey, guys. Yesterday, you had a great interview with Rand Paul. At the very end of the interview, you posed a question to him, how does it all end? I don't believe he answered that question, but I believe the answer is, and Clay, you touched on it just a second ago, it is noncompliance. I think this has been a compliance test from the get-go. And I think that people have complied to make it all end, but compliance is the very reason why it will never end. So that's my comment.
It's a fantastic call. Thank you, Wendy, in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the question, Buck. How do we do it?
Where ultimate compliance can get you? Right now, Australia has just put forward that you have to get special permission to leave the country. So they won't let people in. They won't let people out. You can't leave your home. The military is enforcing this. Man, I got to say, it's impossible to have lived through that. This feels like maybe a digression, but I don't think it is. It's impossible to live through this current moment of vaccine mandates in New York City, which are happening. I'm already hearing from restaurants. They're going to do the papers, please show me your vaccine papers. If you want to go into bars, restaurants, they're actually going to do this, which is mind blowing, but it's where we are. But Clay, when people in the past have had fights about things like a national gun registry, and they would always say, oh, come on, the government, they just want to do that to keep everybody safe. They would never use that against, if you trust this government with your vaccine mandates, you trust this government with your gun registry, there's so many places now where you see there is a tyrannical momentum here. I mean, the tyrannical impulse of the left has been on full display. And if you let them get away with this stuff, they keep going. It's not like they get tired of it. They like it. They want more of it, which is why the pushback, and as we just said, the noncompliance, which is all tied together, is so essential. But Clay, I think it's going to get ugly. I mean, I think people are going to start getting dragged out of buildings. And we've already seen a little bit of that, but it's going to get uglier because, I'm sorry, if you think a plexiglass piece between you and somebody else is protecting you from an aerosolized virus that's at a level of microns that's blowing around in the air, you're just not very smart, and people should not have to live based upon the fears of others' ignorance.
Also, Buck, you're a big history guy. When has creating two distinct caste systems, by and large, which is what they're trying to do with the vaccine passports and the idea of vaccines in general, when has that not led to conflicts within the culture between those castes? And I'm telling you, I was encouraged by the people who showed up at the school board meeting and voiced the 1,000 people. They've never seen anything like it. But also, that is going to lead to some conflict. Now, I like conflict outside of my personal life because conflict often leads to resolution. And if you don't actually address things, then you don't get a resolution, but that resolution can be violent. It can be uncomfortable. And I think that might be where we're headed in some parts of this country. Brian in Nicholasville, Kentucky.
Buck, yesterday here in Kentucky, our governor mandated masks for all school age children, pre-K, K through 12. We have an excellent senator. You've had him on a couple times.
Yes.
I'm going to be looking for his influence to see what we can do about this. But I agree with you. We have to stand up.
This is the point, Brian. Brian, thank you so much for calling in from Kentucky. Clay, if Kentucky is putting mask mandates into place for children, it can happen anywhere.
And now they have an idiot Governor Beshear who they managed to elect, who's a Democrat. So that is a factor. Like, there are only two Southern Democrat governors in Louisiana and this idiot in Kentucky.
Yeah, but Clay, Abbott had a mask mandate for how many months, right? I mean, the point
I
here
understand
is
it a little bit more last year. There's no defending it now, right? Like, last year people were panicked. There was chaos. You're right. But the idea that you would be mandating pre-K kids in the state of Kentucky, in the same state where Rand Paul is your senator and he is making totally logical doctor arguments about what should and shouldn't happen, but I think that's the challenge.
And, there are people who are willing to come forward now a little bit more. I mean, one of my huge disappointments is how many of those who are MDs and or, you know, scientists in some capacity, real scientists, right? Not, you know, lab coat tyrant bureaucrat Fauci. And they won't come forward because they're afraid. You know, they don't want their careers to be tarnished. They don't want their hospital system to cast them out. I know that there are nurses. I know because I talk to them and I get notes.
Oh, yeah.
I always can tell when it's somebody from like a, you know, major medical system somewhere when the email it says, you know, not for roll call, like not for, you know, reading out on the air. And then it will be, you know, we all wore our masks. We all got sick anyway. We know this is crap, but I can't say this. And you, Clay, at some point you realize until there is that mass movement, the loons will get their way. This is not going to be a fair game because the people that believe we have to do this stuff, unfortunately, really believe it. I mean, Matt Walsh over at the Daily Wire, I saw him. He did the same thing you did, by the way. He went to the school board in Tennessee. He said there are adults practically in tears.
Yes.
Because they're afraid their children are going to die of COVID. If you're afraid your kids are going to die of COVID, you're just ignorant. You're not well informed. But they don't care. They're like, oh my gosh, my children. Oh my. And
no,
this is what
happens. It's true. And there were people who showed up at the school board meeting where I was at making those same arguments. And by the way, I want to give a shout out. I'm not going to say her by name. But one doctor got up, neurosurgeon, and she's got five kids in Williamson County schools. And she was one of the people who spoke out. You know, by the other way, the cosmetic.
Wait,
theater,
so she spoke out against masks? Just to get that. She spoke out against masks?
Yes.
What'd she say?
She said there's no scientific basis for it.
She's a neurosurgeon, right?
She did a phenomenal job. And she's a friend of our family. Our kids overlap in schooling and in extracurricular activities. But Buck, I'm so fired up about this. The doctors who spoke, they put their masks on for the cameras. They were there all day. Getting ready to speak, to argue for masks, not wearing their masks. And then what do? As soon as all the cameras showed up, cosmetic theater actors, they put on their stupid masks and they got up to speak in a school board meeting indoors wearing their mask. You knew when you got to the school board meeting and you saw some of those loser school board members wearing masks at the meeting, they were going to be trying to implement a mask mandate. I'm super fired up about this, but I feel better having been to that meeting and meeting all the other parents that were standing up, for actual science and facts.
We've also got the critical race theory fight that's still continuing in schools, by the way, which is not getting as much attention right now, but that's essential. And I believe that really started. That was kind of the catalyst for the school board revolution. My friend Ned Ryan, founder of American Majority, will be joining us the next hour. He is in Loudoun County. Loudoun County has been
the
front line of the CRT pushback situation. So we will dive into that as well. But we got so much for you on the budget and the infrastructure bill, Bernie's budget, the stealth social. It's actually not even really stealth socialism. It's just kind of socialism now. A lot of the things they're doing in there, out in the open. We got Josh Hawley, joining us, Senator Josh Hawley. So that's coming up in just a little bit. But you know, it's so easy for your home to get stolen, Clay, when it comes to your title, right? I mean, the guy, obviously the burglar doesn't carry it off in a bag, but if he carries off your home's title, that person actually then it's like they own it and they can take loans out against it. Whether you know it or not, your home's title, everybody, is online. And it's not hard to just print something out that's a quitclaim deed, forge your signature on it, and then they just start taking out loans. They start taking out loans. And you usually won't find out about this for 60 to 90 days. Sometimes it's long enough that you actually get a foreclosure notice in the mail. Clay, that's why we have home title lock on our homes, because we know that you got to protect yourself.
Yeah, and you can protect yourself for pennies a day. Home Title Lock will secure your home's title and back it with $1 million guarantee. You can register your address now to see if you're already a victim. You also get 30 days free when you call this number right now. 800-708-LOCK. 800-708-LOCK. That is, one more time, pull your phones out, 800-708-LOCK. See website for guarantee and details.
Welcome to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, everybody. Thanks for being here with us. Great to have you. 800-282-2882. This is Buck, and I've been telling you about how they're all in on trying to destroy the governor of Florida right now over this whole COVID situation, the COVID surge. I think if you start to look at the numbers, you say, hold on, this is going to have the same pattern. If you look at the overarching theme here, there's a surge and the cases come down. Usually it's about a 4 to 6 week process, but I still think that's likely to be what we see in places like Florida and Texas where they've had more cases. Fatalities are way down. Fatalities overall nationwide are very far down from what they were. You're at a rolling average now, I think about 500 plus a day, when at one point we were more like 35. I mean, the actual peak, we were more like 3,500 a day. I think it even got up to 4,000 at one point. So we're way down on fatalities. You don't get that sense in the media. And instead what they're doing, I mean, this is the actual narrative. And I know you're going to hear this. And Clay, everybody who's with us and trying to live in a rational, fact-based, normal person universe will hear this and say, I mean, come on. Like, this is such cheap, just such weak stuff. It's so dishonest that, yeah, Governor DeSantis wants people that doesn't care about people dying. I mean, this is what they actually say on these different networks. But unfortunately, a lot of left wingers believe this stuff and they actually take it to heart and it gets ratings over at MSNBC. Here is Joy Reid saying the strategy is Ron DeSantis' strategy is kill people.
What is the strategy behind killing children in your own state and letting children die of COVID? I can't figure it out.
I think the strategy, as macabre as this sounds, is project strength at all costs, own the libs at all costs. And that's what it comes down to. It doesn't come down to end the policy. They're not counting the numbers of how many people are dead or alive. They're not concerned about the well-being of their own citizens. It's how can I project that I'm against Joy Reid, that I'm against Dr. Fauci, that I'm against the elites, I'm against the people on the coast and the brown folks and the black folks, right? Like, that's it. That's all this is about. And so they're doing that at the expense of their own citizens.
I mean, I guess at some point, like, all the soy milk has seeped into this guy's brain. Clay, people just don't want their kids wearing masks because it's dumb. It's actually not, you know, oh, I voted for, I've always hated this. I've hated it from the beginning.
Buck, if I told you right now that you needed to wear a football helmet when you drove around in your car in order to make yourself safer, that might well be true if you got into an accident.
Oh,
right?
It would definitely protect me from head injuries. Cyclists have made this argument before.
Yeah. NASCAR drivers wear helmets in their NASCAR race. They wear them in an F1 car because if they get in accidents, and they're more likely to get in accidents, the helmets keep them safer, okay? A helmet in a car would make everyone safer if every time we got into a car, we had to put on helmets. But it would also be wildly uncomfortable and not actually make you that much safer relative to the actual data. So what frustrates me about people like those losers on MSNBC that we just heard talking is they're not actually analyzing risk. Adulthood is about figuring out how to analyze risk, and raising children is about teaching your kids how to analyze risk safely while still becoming an independent adult themselves, right? This is what the entire purpose of raising a child is. Look both ways when you cross the road, but don't refuse to ever cross a road because you might get hit by a car if you do. You have to balance risk in order to live life. And when you are requiring masks, which do not work, that's what they're missing. It's all cosmetic theater. They don't work, and they particularly don't work for young kids that are not very good at keeping their masks on in the first place.
Clay, to your point about understanding risk and figuring out what's acceptable, what's not, they keep falling back on, because even like we had Dr. McCary on, remember? He's talking about masks on kids, has all kinds of bad effects, and they always say it's a... The masks work. I mean, there may be some minimal, impossible to actually quantify benefit, right? This is what, and you'll have doctors who'll say that. McCary said, oh, it's the fourth in the mitigation strategies. Meanwhile, why is it the one that people are the most insistent about? Because it's visible, because there's political tribalism involved, and because people want to think that by doing something so minimal, they're showing that they take this seriously and they're smart. It's a personal branding exercise for a lot of people.
None of the data reflects, and this is why we're fortunate, thank God, that we have a federalistic system in this country, and we are able to have different states making different decisions. And what that has shown us is that virtually everything that a state like New York and California, for instance, have done, and they've been very draconian. They filled in skate parks with sand. They took down rims on basketball hoops. They wouldn't allow you to go to the beach or the parks in California. None of that stuff actually impacted whether or not COVID spread. It was all a bunch of bunk.
But I do think they also managed to, I mean, to the federalism point, Clay, they managed to get around a lot of this by convincing, I mean, if Florida, as great as Florida was, and I had two brothers who moved there during the pandemic, and I spent a lot of time in Florida in the pandemic, you had to mask up in Miami. I mean, they still, people forget this. There was, you know, it was better than other places.
But they did have every school open. Yeah, it wasn't perfect.
It wasn't perfect. So I mean, the truth is, what we really needed was one state to just say, we're not doing this. Right?
Well, South Dakota, right? Basically, I mean, kind of the problem.
But that's actually not even really. I mean, Kristi Noem, in the beginning, there were some restrictions, there were some mandates about distancing and all the rest. Now that was early, to be fair. She also has a very red state legislature that kept her from, I think, caving more on some.
It's also geographically quite a bit different between South Dakota and Miami.
It has, you know, I love South Dakota. I'm not disrespecting South Dakota, but I'm just saying from an epidemiological perspective, it's got a, you know, per square mile, it's a little bit like being in Mongolia or something. I mean, it's not a very dense place.
No doubt. We come back, by the way, a lot of talk about the budget rama, the craziness that went on there. Also, we're going to talk with Josh Hawley in the third hour, but we're going to dive into this critical race theory, Buck. Big time explosive fireworks and another school board hearing we'll be discussing.
Looking forward to getting into all that and more, team. Stick around.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.